Okay, my name is Will Prettyman. I am 17 years old. Today is January 14th, 2019, and I'm speaking with Brett Prettyman, who is my dad. So, Dad,
yes.
Can you tell me about one or two people who have been the biggest influences on your life?
Boy, that's a tough one. Well, I would say, first of all, my mom. And professionally, an individual named Tom Wharton.
Okay, so why your mom?
Well, I don't know. I just, my mom taught me a lot of things about how to be a person, how to be a good person, how to be a parent, how to be a hardworking individual, and perseverance and dedication to doing things and doing them right. And I also really admire and try to emulate my mom's passion for people and trying to help people and just be a good person overall. So, and then also probably because my mom and dad got divorced when I was 13 and I lived with my mom, and so she kind of took on the role of two parents, and I thought that she did an amazing job for my brother and I, raising us as a single mom.
Then you mentioned Tom Wharton. So who is he?
So, pretty young, I became a fan of reading the newspaper, namely the Salt Lake Tribune, and one of the reasons was because Tom Wharton wrote about outdoors adventures all the time. He wrote about experiences with his family, going to really cool places in Utah and around the country to do stories for the Tribune, and I just thought that was really cool, and I really liked reading his stories about listening to wolves howl and Isle Royale in Michigan and going on river trips on the Grand Canyon and stuff like that. So he kind of became, you know, kind of important for helping form what I wanted to do when I got older. And when I did get older and went to college, one of the requirements for me to graduate from college in my degree was a working internship. And I thought, well, if I have to do a working internship, I should just do it under the best person that I know. So I went to the Tribune and asked if I could do an internship under Tom, and they said, well, we don't do it that way. You don't do it under a specific reporter. You end up, we do internships through Utah State University, not Utah. I was at the University of Utah. And so I was kind of disappointed, but then they said, well, tell us about yourself. And I told them, and they said, well, how about a job? And I said, well, I think that counts as an internship. And they said, we can't have you work with Tom, but you can, you know, talk to him and see if maybe you can help him. So I started at the Salt Lake Tribune when I was a junior in college, and very quickly, I think I went and introduced myself to Tom, but there were some, I think some, like the person that interviewed me probably told him that was what I was interested in. And Tom took me under his wings, and before I knew it, I was writing stories that I used to admire that he wrote. And I felt a lot of gratitude and a lot of honor that he was letting me do the things that he'd loved to do so much, and that now it was my turn to share all those amazing stories with the people of Utah and the world. And I hope that there's kids out there that have felt the same way about what I wrote through the years as what Tom did for me.
So what year did you start working at the Salt Lake Tribune?
I started working at the Tribune in 1990.
And are you currently working at the Salt Lake Tribune?
No, I worked at the Tribune for 1 month short of 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that's a good word for it.
So
then I left there and went to my new job, which I've just been at for about 3.5 years now.
So when you said that you were writing stories like Tom Wharton wrote, so like, what are some of your most memorable stories?
That's a tough one, because I love my job so much, and I just really enjoy everything about the outdoors in Utah. I was the outdoors editor, so I did. Probably my favorite stuff was wildlife-related stories, where I would go and help the division do transplants of like pronghorn and moose and deer and elk and bighorn sheep, where I would go electroshocking to do fish surveys on big rivers like the Green River and the Provo River. I would help stock lakes in the High Uintas, and those were the things that I really enjoyed the most were the wildlife stories. But towards the end of my career, I did a project called the Utah Bucket List, which had a little bit of that, but it was actually, it turned out to be a series that we did in the Tribune, and then also was carried on the local PBS station, and it was where we filmed adventures across Utah, kind of like, you know, if you have a chance, these are the things you should do before you pass on to the great beyond. And that was really fun. I really enjoyed both doing that. Some of the things were things I'd already done, but I really enjoyed doing it in a new medium, which was TV, instead of just newspaper and writing, which I still love doing that part of it, but the TV was just like an extra bonus and a lot of fun.
So what were some of the things that you did on the bucket list?
Well, I took you to the Olympic Park up in Park City, and we jumped off of the ski jumps into the 60-degree water, just freezing. That was pretty fun. And that's one of the reasons I love the job so much, is that I got to include my family. And why I love so much that Tom wrote about it like that, and I could do the same thing. And so as a result, you know, your siblings and mom are also in the bucket list, which I really love that you guys could come with me on those trips and experience that as well. And now we have kind of a special family thing that is on video that's there forever that we can watch. And it's kind of a more official documentation of our trips. So I really like that. We did, I floated Cataract Canyon, the Colorado River, through Canyonlands, which I had done before, but I really, really enjoyed doing on the bucket list. We went skiing on a powder day up at Snowbird, which they filmed me doing powder skiing, which was kind of embarrassing, but that's okay. That's what it was about, was like showing people that they shouldn't be afraid to go do these things, that they can try them, and that, you know, if a big guy, old guy like me can do them, then maybe they can too. So that was kind of the point. Some of the other ones were like Timpanogos Cave and taking a tour through there and doing the kind of the extra entry into the back part of the cave where not a lot of people go, where you have to actually crawl on your hands and knees with a helmet and everything on. Everybody can do it, you just have to sign up in advance, and most people just don't do it. So I really enjoyed being able to see the cave that way. Sailing on the Great Salt Lake was amazing. Camping in Arches. I'm trying to think, a hot air balloon festival in Bluff, Utah, which was one of the most amazing things I've ever done. Going up in a hot air balloon in Red Rock Country was pretty amazing, and seeing sunrise in Valley of the Gods from a hot air balloon was stunning and something I'll never ever forget. Of course, I had to sneak in a fishing one, and I did the Green River over below Flaming Gorge, my favorite place to fish, and so I got that on there. I did Via Ferrata, which is this unique climbing system that they have up in Ogden, where they pick a route for you and they put in some helpers and you climb up. And I really enjoyed that. It was something I never thought I would do, and I really enjoyed. But probably one of my favorite things that I have done several times, and I did again for the bucket list, was the annual bison roundup on Antelope Island, where you actually ride a horse and herd bison. And these are wild bison, they're not domesticated animals, they're not cows. You don't really herd the bison, they just kind of let you gently nudge them in the direction you want to go. Once they start, you just kind of back up and let them decide what they're going to do. That was really another highlight. I really love doing that, and it's been one of the things I've loved to do the most.
So between the bucket list and working at the Salt Lake Tribune, was there anything that you found difficult in what you did, or any like hardships that you had to overcome?
You know, I kind of thrived on having to do a lot of the outdoors adventure type stuff. I really enjoyed the challenge of that and the production of that and planning it. Probably some of the hardest things that I had to do, were more on the other side of kind of the spectrum, and they're more on policy and threats to public lands and threats to wildlife and issues that come up as a result of people not paying attention to nature like they should and creating issues for certain species and the legislative process was not really so much of an obstacle, but it was really frustrating for me to see what people wanted and to hear what people told legislators, policymakers, what they wanted, and then for the policymakers to do exactly the opposite thing. That was really frustrating for me to see that happen, to see legislators tell, fourth grade students who were fighting for a certain protection on burrowing owls in West Valley City, they just wanted to create a little bit of open space or save some open space. And before the meeting, one of the prominent people on the committee was like, oh, I appreciate so much what you guys are doing, that's so great. And then, 10 minutes later, I looked over and the kids' jaws were down on the table with their mouth wide open because they couldn't believe what was coming out of the same guy's mouth. That was really frustrating and challenging for me not to, as a reporter, my job was to be objective and to report what I saw and what I witnessed and how things happened, not to put my personal feelings in it, which I feel like I did a good job of. But then there's also the other part of it. It was the columns that I wrote and where I am allowed to have a voice, my own voice, and say, this, I saw this happen and I didn't like it. And I appreciated that because I really felt like I was representing the people. They're voted officials. I'm de facto because of my job and because I love what I'm doing. And I really felt like I was a voice for sportsmen and sportswomen across Utah and the West.
Cool. That's really cool. So have you always been interested in the outdoors? Was there anything else that you considered throughout college? What were your interests before?
Boy, that's a good question. I guess I have always been kind of interested in, wildlife and writing, because I was so young when I started to read Tom Wharton's stories that it just kind of probably set that seed in motion long ago that I was going to follow that path. I don't even think I realized it at the time, right? Like I just loved it, and I didn't ever think of it as a profession. In fact, when I went to college, I wanted to go to Utah State University to study wildlife biology, but I was kind of a chicken, and I didn't want to leave Salt Lake, and I was even more chicken of the math that came with the biology and the wildlife stuff. So I kind of shied away from it, and I figured at that point that I would go to the university and get a major in English. And I wasn't exactly sure what I was going to do with that, but then at some point I decided that if I couldn't be a wildlife biologist, that I would write about him, just like Tom did. And then the English thing didn't last very long because I realized it wasn't exactly what I wanted. I enjoyed the writing, but it wasn't voicing important things to the masses like Tom had done. So I pretty soon changed to communications major.
And so how did your communications major, how did that help? Did that help you in your writing, or like how did that transfer over? Do you think that made you better at writing? Do you think that helped you? Like, how did that help you in even today with your new career?
There's no doubt that it helped. It helped me figure out how to do things better and how to be a better writer, how to have flow and transitions and cover all the bases and develop relationships, which is one of the most important things about, having those, having a beat and being responsible is knowing who to talk to when you need to talk about certain things. So it helped me with that. It was kind of interesting because I was a junior and I was already working at the Tribune, and I had classes from teachers who were in the profession, who were, columnists at the Deseret News editors, and they, you know, they in the class they would say, okay, this is how this works, and I would just sit in the back of the room shaking my head, saying, that's not how it works. I'm in there. I'll be there again tonight, you know, from 4 to midnight. That's not how it works. And so, and they knew that I worked there. And so they would say, oh, I see you shaking your head, Brett, what's different? And so I would tell them, and they're like, oh my gosh, really? When did that change? And so it was kind of fun to kind of feel like I was kind of helping and kind of helping the class have some more experience about what was happening in the world. Surprisingly, I also took a minor in what was then called the Recreation and Leisure Department, and now it is known as Parks Management. And that, when I was doing that minor, that really, I think, was a better thing for me. I feel like I was more exposed to the issues and the policy side of stuff. Like, it helped prepare me for ways of thinking about how to talk about the issues. And so I felt pretty good about that department. I often say that I, you know, the hardest class I had at the University of Utah was in the Rec and Leisure Department, and it was called the Psychology of Leisure, which sounds really, really lame, but it was a tough class. And I learned a lot from it. In fact, I'm rereading the book that I had to read for that class again right now.
Cool. So that is sort of leading to my next question, but do you feel like, do you ever wish that you would have pursued like another career, or do you think that the career that you have and have had was like what you were made to do?
That's a good question. I made some life decisions about my career. I knew that I wasn't ever going to make a lot of money, but I knew that I would be able to involve my family in what I did. And I knew that I was going to make a difference in the world. I was going to inform people about ways to protect the things that I loved and that they loved. And more importantly, help people understand about the things that they need to protect that they don't even know about yet. And so, yeah, I kind of feel like it was my calling in a sense. I felt like it was something that I don't want to say I was destined for, but I definitely was, you know, going down that course. I don't think I've thought too much about other possible careers. What I'm doing now with Trout Unlimited is a conservation nonprofit group is kind of similar to what I was doing at the Tribune, in the sense that I'm educating people about threats to to clean water and to cold water species, and I really think that's important. It means a lot to me, it means a lot to my family, and I feel like it's worth my job, telling people about these threats. So I'm one of those people who kind of doesn't really second guess myself. Once I make a decision, I'm just into it. I don't feel like I need to second guess what I did and why I did it, and, oh, I should have done this instead. I just, once I'm into make a decision, I feel like it's all in, and I'm just going to go forward with it. So there hasn't really been a lot of that. I didn't really think about another career. I probably expected to finish my professional life at the Salt Lake Tribune, probably 30, 35 years of work. And but then, the industry was having some hard times, still is, and I felt like to protect my family and myself, I had to get out of it before it got me out of it. And I felt like I made a good decision, and I was ahead of the curve, and I really enjoy what I'm doing now. So, when I started to see the writing on the wall about the newspaper world, I did think about the conservation world. Trout Unlimited was a group that I had covered at my job, and I was familiar with it, and I appreciated the work they did, and I wanted to see if I could continue that. So it made sense, and the opportunity came up, and I took it.
Cool. So I sort of kind of asked this, but like, what are some of the like proudest moments you think that you've had in your career, both career and personally?
Well, surviving the ski jump was one of them, for sure. The other was, you know, people say that a lot, and I really, it's kind of an overall thing, just knowing that I was helping educate people about threats and making them aware of them. And probably the one that's the biggest to me, I mentioned the Green River, was when 30 miles of the Green River, there's like 2 miles of it that has some private property on it. The rest of it's wide open. And there's a place 7 miles down. It's the end of the first section. They call the A section. And right there at the ramp, there's some property across from the ramp, and it came up for sale from the state, CITLA, the State Trust Lands Institutional Education. So I can't remember what it stands for. It's changed. But anyway, it was CITLA. Their job is to make money on state lands. And I heard that they were going to sell it to a timber company, and then they were going to build a lodge there. And it just broke my heart to imagine a lodge right there in the middle of all the wild. And so I fought, and I raised my voice, and I said to the anglers, I said, it's time to engage and to fight this. And they did a little bit. They got excited about it, and they fought it a little bit, and then they just kind of backed off because the people who wanted to make the purchase and the people who wanted to sell it told them what they wanted to hear, that it wasn't going to happen. But behind the doors, it was happening. And so I got back in the newspaper, and I wrote another column about it, and I said, no, now is the time. Don't take their word for it. Fight it. And the state ended up going to sell the land, but anglers had put so much pressure and made so many valuable points to the Division of Wildlife that the director of the Division of Wildlife bid more than they had expected to pay for the land to save it and protect it. And today there's no buildings, nothing there. It's still wide open land that you see when you arrive at Little Hole and you float down the river and you see it. You don't see people and lodges and cars and pollution and stuff. And to me, that's, kind of the biggest thing. That's one of the, things I'm the most proud of during my career.
So, as of today, you said you left the Tribune about 3.5 years ago. Are you still doing any writing, or would you like to be doing more?
I write, in some ways I write more than I ever did. I write a lot of press releases. I write a lot of letters to the editor. I write a lot of opinion pieces for the newspapers. I do also do freelance, and I just had 2 stories come out this weekend, ironically, in a publication that is put in the Salt Lake Tribune on Sundays. It's a magazine produced by the Utah Office of Tourism, who I worked with a lot when I was at the paper. And when I left, they said, will you work for us and do freelance? So I do freelance work for the Utah Office of Tourism, and this time it was about fly fishing the Provo River and staying at Sundance Resort. And so, yeah, it was fun to be able to do that. And I did a feature on this woman angler who's really into trying to get other women into fly fishing. Other things I've done for the Office of Tourism include rewriting their national park web pages, changing the tone and the expressions there. That was really fun for me to do. It's interesting for me to see the Utah Office of Tourism post things on social media and see my words. It's kind of crazy to see that. But yeah, so I do still do it. And my job at Trout Unlimited, we have a national web page and social media, and myself and other members of the comms team write essays or columns still. So I still get to do that. And so that's, I'm still doing it. I'm not doing it in the same capacity, but a lot of what happened at the Tribune was that I ended up just being sent out to cover anything that happened that day. Court cases and things that had nothing to do with what my beat was. And not that those things weren't important, but we didn't have the staff that we used to have to staff everything. So I ended up going because I was available. And it got really hard for me to continue to do that, knowing that there were so many stories I wanted to do on my, you know, quote unquote beat that I couldn't get to because of all these other things. So at Toronto Unlimited, I'm writing everything that I want to write. But I still have that challenge of dealing with politicians and legislators and congressmen and such, that because we're very involved in policy decisions across the country, and it's, you know, it's as frustrating as it ever was, if not more so. And maybe even a little more, because I know we're on the front end of so much of the work that's being done to try to craft these decisions. And the way that some politicians ignore those is really, really frustrating.
So is there anything else that you're personally proud of, outside of your career, and anything else that you've done?
Well, I'm proud of my family. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of the things I've been able to do with them, and the things that I've been able to teach them, and the places I've been able to share with them that I love so much. I'm proud of that. I feel like my children have the same love of wild places and adventure and wildlife that I do, and maybe not to the same level, but I appreciate that they care about it and want to be there and do things. So I'm proud of that. I'm proud of my kids for many reasons, for school and athletics and everything. I'm proud of my mom. She's still doing everything despite some health issues that she's ever wanted to do, and traveling and exploring and not letting that get her down. So yeah, I'm proud of everything that's happened. I feel like it's not been a perfectly laid plan, but it's worked out.
All right, well, awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking. Did Dad die?
No, you're good.